Khalashin for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bagatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Hi, good morning. Welcome to this show on this cold winter day. It's the 14th of July, and I'm Adrian Bagatti. You're listening to the Essen Fressen show. And this week, my guest is none other than Sharon Lurie from The Butcher's Wife. How's it, Char? How are you today?
Fine. How are you, Adrian? Can you all hear me? Am I coming through loud and clear?
Perfectly. We can hear you.
Oh, fantastic. Good. Okay, because you know I'm new to all this.
Yeah, you know what? Who says you can't teach an old dog new tricks? We're all learning new things every day.
We are. We truly are.
We are. So this week we decided we're going to chat about, well, recovering from COVID and the food and things that we kind of need to plan ahead for, because this virus is like really taking over everybody's lives. And, you know, I know you're recovering from it. I had all the symptoms, but didn't have the actual COVID according to the tests. So, the way I felt, I don't know how the people with COVID are doing, because I felt terrible. So you were saying, like,
it is.
We were talking yesterday when we were preparing for the show, we were talking about the loss of taste as well as one of the symptoms of COVID. And as foodies, yeah, that's a little bit of a problem. So
that's a big
tell
problem.
Me what happened.
Okay, so basically you lose taste. Thank God mine only was for about 3 days, but the whole lining of my mouth, the inner lining, came away, just was like peeling away. And it wasn't as if I was on antibiotics or anything. I was taking my vitamins and whatever, and suddenly, after not being able to taste and to smell anything, my taste became so sharp that I couldn't even put salt onto anything. But since then, I have developed quite a craving for butter, salted butter. And would you believe it? I never ate gem squash. All of a sudden, I have this craving for gem squash, butter, salt, and pepper. Crazy. But I must say, carry on.
Yeah, no, you were saying?
That my appreciation, 10 things I would say that Corona has taught me, is appreciation, number one, for health and Hatzola. I mean, especially Sharon. I didn't know her surname, but it was just, hi, Shah, hi, Shah. And she would phone me twice a day, take all the vitals. And to my own doctor, to Shlomo Levine, and to all the other doctors, Daniel Israel and Anton Meyerberg and everybody. I mean, there wasn't a podcast or a thing I didn't listen to. But I think one of the hardest things is being a very huggy bobba and a huggy wife and a huggy mother. Restraining myself physically has to be one of the hardest things. That's definitely, you know, but on a lighter note,
okay,
I think that there is definitely what I said to Sharon and what I said to Shlomo was, there is cab out there. Now, that was my shortening for Corona Advisory Board. And
okay,
I'm telling you that this Corona Advisory Board sits with a little clipboard, and every day as you think, oh, please God, I'm going to turn the corner today, it's as if they're sitting there with the checklist and they're deciding, now, what has Sharon Lurie not had today? Has she had the sore ears and the glands yet? Okay, no, she hasn't. Okay, she'll get that tomorrow. So as you think, oh, please God, I'm getting a bit better. And then, you know, there were days that where I was lying, because then I heard, right, you've got to lie in the sun and you've got to get vitamin D. So I would go and I would lie in front of my sliding window and I would get vitamin D and I would just lie there. Do you know that there were times that I couldn't get up? I actually had to crawl to go to the toilet. That's how bad it was. I mean, I just feel awful.
No, that does
anyway,
not sound
so right. My heart is out there with all those that are suffering now and that have got it. And I know my best friend has got it now. And I really, it is horrific. And never mind, there were some things that I did learn. I mean, I learned that it takes longer for a dead palm tree frond to fall to the ground. And no matter how many times you look out your window, try to imagine you're on the Bahamas. When that power goes out, there's no gas in the cylinder and your hot water bottle's leaking. But anyway, I'm here, thank God, to tell the tale, and I didn't have to go into hospital.
Yeah, that I think is the best part, that you're on your road to recovery, that you're able, you know, to talk about it and tell us what got you through it. And so, like you said, your taste in that, and you've developed a thing for gem squash, which I love. We have gem squash all the time in my house. I turn it from anything from just a plain vegetable, add it into stews, turn it into a summer soup. So I use gem squash a lot. One of the nice things is do gem squash with sweet corn inside and then some melted cheese on top. That's like a nice little lunch snack. And so that's the thing.
My daughter wouldn't allow everything that I had. She said I had to put like an extra vitamin in, or I had to put, so there I was craving this gem squash. Now that I put gem squash into chicken soup, because I couldn't really taste the chicken soup, but I had to have the chicken soup because I knew how good it was for me, although I couldn't taste it and whatever. But, I mean, my taste buds really went back to zero. I was imagining like a tiny baby tasting gem squash for the first time and what they must have been going through.
It is. It's hard. Look, chicken soup, we all know, Jewish penicillin. Nobody knows why it works. We just know it does, probably because it's made with love, but also because, I mean, when we make chicken soup from scratch, it's all that fresh vegetables that we put into our chicken soup. I don't know about you, but I put ginger in, and I know, like the chicken bones, when I make a chicken soup, I use the chicken carcass a lot, mostly because I can't use most of the stocks. So I've had to learn how to make soups from scratch. And right now with, you know, if you're sick and you're just not feeling like eating, whether it's COVID or any kind of flu or cold or anything, soup, any soup is absolutely vital, because it contains all those nutrients. You know, when we're cooking our vegetables, we should actually just drink the water, because that's what happened to all the vitamins. It's in the water. We leach it from our vegetables. So I think that's why soups are just such an important part of a healthy diet, especially when you're wanting to build immunity or to recover from an illness.
Well, my daughter made me a vitamin C soup, and I want to tell you that in the beginning I couldn't really taste it, but now I'm appreciating it. And she called it the vitamin C soup. Why? Because it's 5 red peppers roasted, six jam tomatoes, which she boiled as well, added that to the roasted peppers, which we peeled the skin off. Then she added the tomatoes, 4 grated carrots, 2 onions chopped. She put in thyme and garlic and salt and pepper, obviously a little bit of sweetener for the tomatoes. You know, you've got to take that tartness off, or you can put brown sugar in, some parsley, some basil, and a little bit of ginger. And she just mooted it all together. And I want to tell you, it's damn nice. Now that I can taste it.
I mean, red peppers and tomatoes are huge huge forms of vitamin C for a diet. So that is fantastic. You know, and the green vegetables help you absorb that vitamin C a bit more. So that's an important thing as well. And the green vegetables also help build up your immunity and your iron levels and give you a bit of energy. And then ginger is a natural immune booster, and it's also, it helps with pain, as a bit of a, little bit of a pain thing. And even the red peppers have a sort of anti-inflammatory property to them. So it's the perfect soup for recovery. So that's the main thing. Okay, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll carry on talking. This is Adrian Bugatti and Sharon Lurie, and you're listening to the Essen Fresen Show.
You're listening to the Essen Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Yeah. So you said you learned 10 things while you were lying in bed, besides the fact that it takes a long time for a leaf to fall.
I tell you what else I learned. I learned that, you see, the TV was connected to my husband because we were obviously in quarantine in separate rooms. So my TV was connected to whatever he was watching. Do you know that Cuba has some very old cars? Did you know that I think I need a new mattress in that spare room? But then I found out that the mattress, it's this terrible backache that you get from Corona. You know, my back, that was the killer. That was really the killer. In fact, I thought that that the Corona was attacking an old injury of mine because it was sort of right on the scar. I fractured my pelvis about 20-odd years ago. The pain. And, but anyway, I'm getting there. I'm able to like climb off my bed now. what else did I learn? Oh, I learned that a spider can spin a web between two burglar bars overnight. Did you know that? And we cleaned every day. And then, what else did I learn? Oh, my husband taught me that Liverpool does not need to have a stadium to win the league, Charles. They've got such wonderful supporters, and they can play in an empty stadium and still realize, and still have all their backers behind them. But I did know, I did, one thing I did sort of during the day was that I drank this green juice. You know, you were talking about vegetables and things like that.
Yes, yes.
Okay. And I couldn't understand. My daughter kept making this green juice, okay, which was half a lemon, the juice of half a lemon, one green apple.
Yeah.
Obviously, but the pips taken out. Just a little, like a small handful of about half a cup of spinach leaves, five sticks of celery. So it's quite high in celery.
Yeah.
One, two, put four. You'll try it out. A quarter of cucumber. Okay. And you put it in the NutriBullet, and then you just sip it. And then she'd keep saying to me, have you drunk the green juice? Are you drinking the green juice? You can't leave it for too long. So I don't know, maybe she knows something that I don't, but that also helped. And of course, berry smoothies. That helps because that's our high in vitamin C, and the bananas, and we put, I think, coconut milk in, they put in for me, and a bit of honey and cinnamon. So, I live on smoothies, you could say.
Yes, you've stuck the celery in, that's it. I'm not having that one because celery, I don't mind celery. I make a delicious celery soup, which I'll eat, I love, but just celery, not a fan of that at all. And then your berry smoothie, absolutely, I love it. Bananas, berries, yogurt, milk, some cinnamon, some honey, and
honey.
Perfect. Love it.
Yeah.
That is a smoothie I can live with. That's something.
Something else, especially when the lining of the mouth disappeared, was we squeezed oranges and one or two lemons, and I froze them, and I just like would have it as slush in a little bowl.
Oh, nice.
Because that's vitamin C, and you know, it's a nice ice lolly. Not too much. I didn't put in any sugar. You can put in a sweetener if you want to. But now I've definitely got my herb garden on the grow, so to speak.
Yes.
Because I always, you know, I always used to put herbs in between my flowers and whatever. Now I've got my, this whole patch cleared out and I'm growing thyme and basil and mint. What else am I growing? Sage, tarragon. And it's really, and I put all the, I'm getting them all put into a little row. And I've got lovely rosemary already and mint. So I really don't have to go out shopping. And that's what I'm trying to avoid the most, is not going out.
Yeah. So for me, the herbs and stuff, well, look, I look at the silk plants and they fall over dead. So gardens and me, a little bit of an issue. I am going to try something that I learned, which is to make a hanging herb garden. I've taken 2-liter cold drink bottles, the plastic cold drink bottles, and we cut out the, like a square, and it's filled with sand, and that's where I'm going to grow my herbs. And I'm going to hang them sort of outside my kitchen garden, my kitchen, so I can see them when I'm cooking, because then I'll remember to look after them, because otherwise it's in the front of the house. And you know, the only time I see that is when I'm going to or from the car, and it's usually, you know, it's either dark or it's early morning for work or whatever it is. So I'm not very good at the gardening part. I forget about the flowers and all that kind of thing. So I'm going to try this. I saw it, I think on YouTube, my kids were watching. So you've cut the square in the plastic bottle and then you drill, you make some holes in, and what it'll do is you water the top one and then it drips down from the top to the bottom. You know, it sort of waters itself almost. So hopefully that'll work out beautiful. I mean, there's fresh herbs just are amazing. You know, just as much as I love my dried herbs, because I use them all the time for everything, just having fresh herbs just sometimes just takes a little different taste to it. You know, that's a special thing that I love doing with the herbs. And so we give that a bash and, you know, see how yours goes, see how mine goes. I'm sure yours will do much better since you're already doing it. like I said, I'm not very good at herbs and growing stuff. I tend to forget about it. I get distracted, but I do. I love coriander, rosemary, thyme, mint. They sort of parsley. They're basics for all your foods, you know, for any recipe. And that's for me. Yeah. And I love basil as well.
You know, another thing very important is to get somebody to get you, which is not feeling well, a jug of water and just infuse it with grated ginger and lemon and pineapple just to give it some sweetness. And just put slices of orange and you can put some berries in or pomegranate seeds. But the most important thing for me was a straw. I couldn't lift my head up to even drink or to pour a glass of water. So I had this long, lovely glass full of all this lovely fruit. You can even put mint in and some apples and cinnamon if you want. And I just used to keep taking sips. My daughter would phone and say, have you drunk? How much have you drunk? What have you drunk? So I just kept sipping on that. But what I did was I joined two plastic straws together. And, so it was a nice long straw to my mouth. And I just kept sipping on that to keep hydrated. So that's a little tip for you as well. And also, watch the cooking channels. It's actually quite interesting because it gives you an appetite. Okay, but
absolutely,
you sort of build up this appetite. You see, they're making something. You build up an appetite, and then you think, you know what? I feel like a crumpet with butter and syrup. And you get up to go to the kitchen to do it, and you go, oh God, no, I can't. I'm back into bed. But it does give you an appetite for different sort of meals. And then you feel like a burger and then you don't want the burger. And then, but when I'm sick, I have to have anchovy toast. Give me anchovy toast or baked beans on toast. And that's when everybody knows I'm sick.
So my comfort food is sardines on toast, and everybody walks in and goes, really, Ma?
Are you that sick?
No, it's just, I like it. You know, so sometimes in the mood, really? You know, I just like suddenly get the thing, I really need sardines on toast. You know, my family are not fish eaters. So, you know, I'm the only one who likes fish, really. So I've got to find, you know, stuff that I can sneak fish into. They'll eat tin tuna. One of mine has expensive fish taste. He likes the raw, raw tuna or the sashimi, like salmon, you know, so expensive taste. Yeah. And, you know, everybody goes, but it's one little fillet. I'm going, no, you don't understand. One fillet's not going to feed that child at all. Maybe a side of salmon would feed him, but a fillet is not going to do it. So we, you know, that's the thing. And the food channels, oh, look, I don't have DSTV. I'm on Netflix, and there are some amazing food shows there. One I watched was they actually coated – they had to do traditional different dishes from different parts of the world, which is what I'm doing at the moment, is traveling around the world through food. And one of their dishes was crickets, and they actually coated the crickets in edible gold. You know, that was quite strange.
I think it's dipped in batter.
Yes. So that's what these people did. They dipped it in the batter, and then they put it in gold because it was a chef's challenge. You know, and these were all chefs with awards and stuff, so it was a professional challenge. I mean, some of the stuff they came up with was quite weird. So I've learned, you know, now, so what we decided is we're all stuck at home. We're not traveling, which, you know, my son is quite used to traveling and getting different foods because he's the mashgiach for like all these different hotels, and he travels around Africa as a mashgiach. So different foods. And we're kind of bored now. So I've been doing foods from around the world. So we've done China. We've done Japan. We did Thailand. I've done Italy, and I've just finished France, which probably would have been better for this week since tomorrow is Bastille, today I think it is. I'm not sure. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but it's Bastille Day, so French would have been appropriate today. But I also got a notice to say today is national, well, obviously America, is National Mac and Cheese Day.
But I think we should keep that for the 9 days. I think you've got a 9 days.
So mac and cheese, yes. Mac and cheese is definitely a 9 days, menu. You know, I like it. My family don't, because I don't have to have meat every day, which I don't know about yours, but mine like actual meat.
We love meat. But we do love macaroni cheese, and we do love tuna blintzes in a beautiful mushroom sauce. I mean, these are just ideas for the 9 days, which I think we'll talk about next week. Meat is work. Very, very important. Back to the fish. You were talking about fish. I was told that omega is a very, very important. And a salad. Yeah, the one day I was craving a salad, just lettuce, tomato, and onion. And my daughter gave me a recipe. She said, right, now, we've got to get all the herbs and the vitamins in. So she said, olive oil, dill, lemon juice, some chili flakes, garlic, and salt. And it really was perfect. Now, the amount of olive oil, we used a cup of olive oil and about a third of a cup of lemon juice. You can go less with the lemon juice. Taste it as you go along.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it sounds like an amazing dressing.
Yeah, no, it was a simple dressing. And thank God my daughter was very involved with all this, with all the food, because I think she sorted me out.
Yes, that's what I want you to know. Like, who did your cooking for you while you stuck in bed?
She did.
That's like for me why freezer meals are just absolutely the most important thing is to have stuff in your freezer, because if the person who does the cooking in the house gets sick,
Everybody starves.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I say, that's another thing I learned, one of the 10 things I learned. Teach your children young to cook and to bake and, you know, just do everything. And your grandchildren, very important. Teach them all. I mean, this afternoon I'm going to my granddaughter. She's made me a beautiful apple cake, which we will sit quietly in the garden and eat because I've distanced myself from them it's nearly a month. And boy, am I craving to see them.
Yeah, look, it's been rough. I mean, my kids are older, so it's not so bad, but we literally haven't seen, we haven't gone near my mom or my mother-in-law since lockdown, since before lockdown, because where my mother stays, they locked down a week earlier, to protect them.
Okay.
So that's, you know, been a big thing. When we come back, we're going to talk about our children cooking, definitely.
Okay.
And so we're going to take a break now, and we'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Adrian Bugatti. This is the Essen Fressen Show, and I've got Sharon Lurie on with me today.
You're listening to the Essen Fressen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. I'm Adrian Bugatti, and today you're listening to the Essen Fressen Show, and my guest is Sharon Lurie. And we were talking before the break about teaching kids to cook early. So in my house, okay, my son, as long as it's meat, he'll cook it reluctantly. My older daughter definitely can cook. She loves experimenting, but it's also under duress for some reason. And I mean, she's a really good cook. And then all of a sudden, my middle daughter has decided to try baking. So I am, gaining weight. she has made shortbread biscuits. She's made no-bake cheesecake a couple of times. And before I knew it, I'd eaten 3 slices. She's just experimenting. She discovered also crumbed mushrooms. I mean, you can remember the old days of Stan and Pete with the crumbed mushrooms, those deep-fried mushrooms. Well, she suddenly discovered that. And she doesn't actually like mushrooms. But she made these crumbed mushrooms the one day, and she suddenly says to me, "Why don't you make these? These are delicious." I'm going, "I don't make mushrooms because you don't like them." No, we'll eat these. So that's been, you know, a thing. Remembering to have enough stock in your cupboard so that they can, like, you know, when the mood strikes, she needs to bake. Because she's at home and, you know, in between schoolwork, that's what she wants. She'll suddenly go into the kitchen and bake. Yesterday, all of a sudden, she decided to make herself chicken nuggets. So she went out and she got chicken breasts, schnitzels, and she had chicken nuggets for lunch. And they weren't bad at all. We're learning. She's learning to cook and everything like that. So it's been interesting.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Suppose better late than never.
Now I have to add this in a little joke. My father always used to say to me, whenever we had mushrooms, he'd say, "Shaw, don't eat too many mushrooms. Because you won't leave mushroom for anything else." whole family to this day, still, whenever we see a mushroom, we all say it to each other. It's like part of him with us all the time.
You
know, one thing, we talk about teaching our families and teaching our children to cook and that. I have been blown away by this community and how incredible, you know, when a person phones you and says to you, "Shaw, what can we bring you?" You don't want anything. You're feeling so lousy. You have no appetite. And all of a sudden the buzzer goes and just like a hamper is dropped at your front door. Basil's from Bagel Zone and a lasagna from Frangelica's or something. That community are incredible. I mean, we I haven't starved in the last 2 weeks. Or
no.
My husband hasn't starved. And it's just so amazing that we are in, you know, even talking to my family overseas, they say there is nothing like the South African community. No. And it's the South Africans, ex-South Africans, who are doing the same thing overseas. You know, they're the ones that are dropping off some bagels and dropping off a frozen soup for you. You know, something.
And, yeah, and absolutely.
We truly are so blessed to have such
an incredible community. So one of my best things is that it's an app called Take a Meal, and then you schedule yourself on, like, they say, okay, we're making meals for this person, and then you just schedule yourself onto that, and it gives the address and everything. But, I mean, even for me, like, and, I mean, you've had the experience now as well where we've sent a meal to somebody in Cape Town, to a family in Cape Town.
And that was dedicated to in the memory of is Leah Khanna,
Leah Bas Khanna.
People are and people are becoming so creative. I mean, all of a sudden I'm seeing on Facebook people are asking what can they do instead of this and what can they substitute that with, and you know, they're starting up new food businesses. And
I
just encourage everybody, just keep doing that. I mean, they've been doing this for a long time in America, where you know a particular person and their level of kashrut, and you'll eat from their home.
Yes.
And people are, it's just amazing. People are just going out there and finding actually a love for food.
Well, this is it.
My sister-in-law just opened up a business, so to speak, where she's selling the most beautiful soups. And thank God, you know, that's something that's kept her busy in lockdown. People know that she's got a clean home, beautiful, hygienic, whatever. And I think it's fantastic. Everybody just trying so hard to do something. People making masks.
And,
I must tell you. my mask is, what does my mask say? You know those little, those crowns, and it says, keep calm?
Yes, yes.
So mine says, keep calm, something, I can't, I'm Jewish. Something like that.
That's about right. Jewish moms don't keep calm, in the middle of a pandemic. You know, so that is, and what I'm watching and what I'm seeing, like, on the Kosher Foodies group, is people are, the food is getting, like, better. We're suddenly becoming aware of cuisine. I think we're so used to the plain Jewish food. I don't know how to describe it. The same stuff over and over and over again. And all of a sudden people are learning to experiment and start new things. One of the things I've started, but it's still a couple of months away, is I found a recipe that wanted miso. You can't get kosher miso. Okay.
I haven't seen it.
So I braved myself. I schlepped all the way into China City. I got some soybeans because you need a lot. Okay. And I've put them out of the house because the smell gets quite something else. And they're fermenting, but it takes between three to 6 months for it to, you know, become miso paste, to be ready to be turned into this miso. So that's like my experiment. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see how it goes. We're only 2 months in. so let's try that one.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing people doing different breads, the artisan breads, which is amazing. And just like the question, and people are like moving away from our plain, boring, you know, menus and getting a little bit more experimental, which I'm loving. And obviously the food shows are really big help.
We can't go out. We can't go anywhere.
And I think that's it. I think that's why people are trying these
new things. It's because you haven't been able to go out to a restaurant or anything. And now people are learning to cook. And I think a lot of people who didn't think they'd enjoy cooking are finding themselves actually quite liking it and, yes. and giving it, you know, a taste and everything. We're going to go to a ad break now. And when we come back, we're going to carry on talking about our food. So this is Adrian Bugatti and I'm talking to Sharon Lurie. And you're listening to the Essen Fressen Show.
You're listening to the Essen Fressen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Adrian Bugatti on the Essen Fressen Show, and I'm talking to Sharon Lurie. So we've been talking about different foods and how everybody's experimenting because we can't go out, and how our foods are improving and people are learning to cook new things and experimenting and maybe even enjoying cooking as much as we do. Hey, Shaw. My thing is, this week our theme is sort of comfort food. We're doing home-styled comfort food. So like Monday for me is a vegan night, last night. Pure comfort. I did a mushroom and potato curry, which was outstanding. No leftovers, so nothing for the freezer. But what I wanted to do, something popped up on my phone the other day, and they did takeout cheat meals. So learning how to do your favorite takeaways.
That's that.
Yeah. Right. So I am planning for this week, if it works out, I am planning to do burgers with cheese. But vegan cheese. I'm going to splurge a little and buy the vegan cheese. The one thing is that the vegan cheese is it doesn't melt as much as a normal cheese does. That's the first thing. But if you slice it and you stick it on your burger patty, and the heat will cause it to like sort of soften enough that it goes over your burger. But then I found a recipe in a book my kids gave me for my birthday. Well, my older daughter gave me for my birthday. And it's a bacon jam. So obviously we've got to adapt that. So it's macon jam. I will use lamb macon because they want streaky bacon, one of the characteristics of the streaky bacon is usually the fat content. There's a lot of fat in that. And this thing actually makes 2 cups of jam. So you can keep it in the fridge. And it's a great savory jam to go on your meats and things like that. And it would go beautifully with steaks. I think I'm going to put it obviously with my burger. So it wants 500 grams of, streaky bacon. So I'm going to do 500 grams of lamb macon. 4 large red onions, which I love. And the reason for the red onions is they are sweeter. They're sweeter and they have a bit more bite than a yellow onion or normal onion. 4 cloves of garlic crushed, great for your immunity. A bay leaf, 2 teaspoons of smoked paprika, good for vitamin C. 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 cup of balsamic vinegar, 1 cup of soft brown sugar. Now they've asked for muscovado sugar, which is the dark brown sugar. It has a molasses flavor to it. And then 1 cup of apple juice and 1 cup of water. And to do that, you're going to fry your macon until it starts to go crispy. And then you pour off the fat. Now, what I like to do with that fat is I keep it in a jar in my fridge and I use it when I'm cooking like caramelized onions to go on the burger. You know, if I'm doing a meat meal, then I'll use that fat to fry in, and it just adds a beautiful flavor to the food you're cooking.
Right. Did instead you of using beef macon?
Yes. I don't know if the beef has enough fat, compared to the lamb. But I'm going to try it with both. Why not? It's not good, I'll have 2 different flavors. Yes. I mean, it'll change the flavor. That's all it's going to do. Obviously, the bacon would be a bit more salty. So, you would need to adjust your seasoning so that the jam tastes right. So you've poured off your fat and you've taken your meat and you've put it aside. And now you're going to fry the onions in the same frying pan until they kind of, just start sticking to the bottom of the pan and they become caramelized. You want them nice, sort of a nice golden sticky color, sticky texture and a gold color. You add your garlic and your bay leaf and you fry that up for another minute or so. Add your smoked paprika, your salt and your balsamic vinegar, and you're going to stir that up. Remember, this is all in one pot, which is even better. Less washing up to do. Add your sugar, your apple juice and your water, and you stir that until the sugar is dissolved. Now, obviously, cooking times are going to be different because if you're on a gas stove or on an electric stove, but it's about 5 minutes to cook. Then you put your macon back into the pan. You turn the heat down, and this is where the waiting game starts. Jam takes a while, so you've got to simmer this for about 45 minutes until it's like the liquid is reduced and you've got a thick sort of jam consistency. So it should, how you do it is you put your spoon in and it should stick to the spoon, but it should also slide off. So you don't want it to like hold on to the spoon, that you've got to bash your spoon to make it come off, and you don't want it too runny. You just want a nice coating. And then you put it in your blender until you have the consistency you want, and into a clean jar or a sterile jar, preferably. If it's a sterile jar, it's going to be able to stay in your fridge for longer. And there's some macon jam. I can't wait to try this. I really can't.
Well, as you know, I love jams because I just think it gives meat such a lovely glaze. So, you know, some recipes will call for brown sugar, but I love putting apricot jam. I used to get tomato jam. That was my favorite.
Tomato jam is wonderful.
Somebody can go into business and make that.
Yeah, that's definitely. The other thing I like is the onion marmalade. I love onion marmalade.
Delicious.
On fish, with some crumbs, and in the oven.
Yes.
And it's beautiful. Absolutely,
well, I take a brisket.
Yeah.
And I put and I mix it, the caramel, that you can get it, I think, at Woolworths, the onion jam or the caramelized jam. And I just mix it with a little bit of tomato paste, a little bit of ginger ale, and I stick it in my slow cooker, and that's Shabbos lunch the next day. With pickled brisket.
Ooh. Sounds stunning. Delicious. So I hope everybody who's been listening to Sharon and myself today have got some nice inspiration and some nice ideas. I hope everybody's feeling really well and stays well, stays home, stays safe, remembers to continue to mask at all times when you're in public. And if you've got any ideas or anything that you would like either of us to put on our shows, please send in and we'll see if we can cover that for you. You've been listening to Adrian Bugatti on the SN Fresh and Show with my wonderful guest, of course, Sharon Lurie.
Thank you. Thank you.
Goodbye until next time.